Hey folks, it's me, Avery Polinori. I am so excited because spring is in the air and you smell those wonderful smells and you know it's spring. Unfortunately, just like all the dog turds outside, there are still a lot of cinematic turds that us nerds have to polish. So that's why we are back with season 2 of Nerds Polish Turds, and I've got a couple of exciting announcements for you all. We have just launched our brand new Patreon. That's right. This Patreon includes tons of benefits depending on the tiers that we have. You can listen to bonus podcasts. You can get merch. We'll eventually start doing web comics as a part of that. And we have our first patrons only episode up on Patreon for you to listen to. So if you want to support our podcast and get bonus content, that is the place to go. That will be linked in the show notes. And before we get to the show, we have a quick word from some of our sponsors.
Have you noticed any creatures that aren't your pets hanging around? If these quote-unquote visitors crawl on the ground or fly through the air, they don't belong in your home. They belong outside. Turn to us at Complete Pest Solutions, where we aim for perfection. We administer some of the most well-used pest control methods in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Since 2008, our quality products, skilled technicians, quick response, and accurate diagnostics have produced effective treatments for all manners of infestations. Whether it's in your home or your business, no matter what you're dealing with, you can always turn to us to rid you of existing pests and prevent future problems. Our programs target all kinds of pests, saving you money and peace of mind. We can even arrange recurring visits for common pests like ants, spiders, bedbugs, roaches, bees, rodents, and other wildlife. Some programs even have up to a 3-year warranty. Since these pests are active all year long, we offer quarterly and monthly services for year-round protection. We also know during these trying times, cleanliness is more important than ever. Now we are pleased to offer our new sanitation services for your home or business. With this service, we aid you in creating a germ-free environment. Our team is always ready to take calls and answer questions, providing full explanations of every service we offer. With over 20 years combined experience, we put our expertise to work for you. Visit www.completepestsolution.com today to start your customized pest control plan. Spring is a buzz, and so are the bees, wasps, and hornets. Chipmunks are headed out to destroy your landscaping and flower beds. So don't delay. Visit www.completepestsolution.com today.
We've all been spending a lot more time at home, and if you're like me, you started to notice your space ain't vibing. You know what you need? You need some super sweet furniture from John Strauss Furniture Design. Not only do they have great lines of furniture in classic mid-century, Art Deco, and modern styles, but they also offer beautiful lighting pieces and other amazingly crafted accessories to bring your space to life. You can trust that the best minds and hands are behind every product they produce. John Strauss Furniture Design is driven by the creative talents of Carissa Marie and the man himself, John Strauss. With every line of design, John and Carissa bring a family legacy and decades of experience into every crafted work. Plus, they've maintained close relationships with master craftspeople who help create their designs, including glass and mosaic artists, metal workers, and even wood specialists in Amish communities. You can't get this level of care and craft from just any furniture designer, folks. So what you need to do is call John Strauss Furniture Design today at 330-456-0300. That's 330-456-0300 today.
Computer. Okay, now we're recording. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our first episode of season two of Nerds Polish Turds, the podcast where we talk about nerdy movies that everyone hates, or a lot of people hate, and how we would make them better because our amateur opinions are gold. With me, I have returning my two co-hosts from last season. We have Tanner.
What's up?
What's up? Tanner, quite the intro there to yourself. And we have Mason.
What's up? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, after some strict contract negotiations, I'm back. They're paying me double what they did last time, so it's great to be back.
Zero times zero is still zero.
No, I get a can of
Mountain Dew. Zero times two is still zero. And you have a can of Mountain Dew.
That's my payment.
Yeah. And I am your other co-host and creator of Cardigan Comics, Avery Polinori. And I'm excited to be back with my friends to talk about a really awful movie, King Kong versus Godzilla from the year 1962, which is not to be confused with the movie that's coming out the month that this episode will air, Kong or Godzilla versus Kong, which will be premiering on HBO Max and in certain theaters, whichever ones are open up, I assume. So I'm sure that movie will be a lot better than this one, but we're going to talk about the OG movie for better or worse. But yeah. So before we get into that, anything new with you guys that you want the listeners to know about?
You got something new, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, Tanner's got a new place.
You are so enthusiastic. I got a new place. Woohoo.
No, that's good. On my own, finally. It's nice.
Nice, nice. It's good to have independence.
He's got a fire.
I got a new job. So that's fun. Yeah.
With, and a chair from your company was in WandaVision.
Yes.
Yeah.
I work for Regency Incorporated, a seating or a furniture manufacturer, and one of the chairs that they designed was in a background shot of WandaVision, which everyone in the office was geeking out about last week when they saw it. So
how did they know that this was going to be in WandaVision? Like,
I think they just knew like it was being used for it. Or they like recognize some logo or something. I have no idea.
Got the order history.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm wrong and it just was a chair that looked really similar to one that they designed and it wasn't.
No, we're going with the first one. That's a lot cooler than a similar looking chair to the ones we sell.
Yeah, there's been like a lot of weird connections I've noticed to that show. Like not necessarily in my life, but just things that I like enjoy. Like
beer with Paul Bettany. Yeah.
Like there's this podcast I listened to called The Cozy Robot with Science Mike McHarg, and he's like a scientist who he was like really popular in the Christian world for a time, and then he became an atheist, and then he became a Christian again. Anyway, he like was a scientific advisor like on the show WandaVision, which I thought was kind of neat. He wouldn't talk about like what he talked about, but I thought that was a cool connection. Also, if you hear any hammering in the background, we got some construction going on. But anyway, I'm excited to be with you guys tonight, and I guess we can go ahead and get into it. So last season we did a recap and then a crap yap, which if you haven't listened before, the recap is when we recap the entire movie, and then the crap yap would be us complaining about everything from the movie. But we're going to kind of combine that this season and see how it goes. We're just, you know, no solid rules here. We just experiment with everything.
Season 2 comes with changes, baby.
That's right. career changes, location changes, hopefully changes
format in changes.
The state of the world. What's that?
Format changes, everything.
Format changes.
Format.
Oh. Sorry. I thought you were talking about formats. Okay. So let's get into it. The movie King Kong versus Godzilla 1962 is a movie produced by Toho, which is the same company that produced all the original Japanese Godzilla movies. And then I'm not even looking at my notes, so that's why I'm kind of rambling on. Okay, here we go. The film opens eventually with Mr. Taco, and that's Taco with a K, which I found out means octopus in Japanese. But Mr. Taco is head of Pacific Pharmaceuticals, and he is frustrated with the television show that their company is sponsoring and wants something to boost his ratings. Now, I have a question. Why is a pharmaceutical company even producing a television show?
That was my question. When they said pharmaceuticals, I was like, wait, hold up. Why are we doing this? And what kind of shows are you producing that are boring? Like, why don't you just, you know.
They're probably just shows about trying to sell their drugs.
Yeah.
Boring.
It's like boring. Like
this guy goes to the pharmacy store to buy their drugs and that's it.
Or some competitors. It's just like, these cheap cough drops suck. Buy ours instead.
Yeah.
While you're not doing
just infomercials, probably.
I imagine like a late night show with like a Jimmy Fallon type that just has different guests on and different acts happening, and they jerry rig like some sort of advertisement for a drug like in every sequence, and then
yeah, that is just the tip of the iceberg with the problems with this movie.
Yep. So anyway, the doctor. Or a doctor that just is meeting with Mr. Taco and his marketing team, tells him about a giant monster that he discovered on the small Faroe Island, which is not Skull Island, or is Skull Island. I'm a little confused about that, but it's the island where, spoiler alert, King Kong lives. And I guess, did he like go there because he got the berries from there that they use in their drugs or something?
Yeah,
and they only let him get like a handful of the berries.
Yeah,
great plot pushing device. We want more berries, and this big ape is guarding them.
Gotta
basically
make those sleeping pills.
Yeah, there's like random things like that, like in the movie that seemingly have no reason to exist, like
other than to introduce King Kong, basically.
I wonder if some of it is lost in translation, though. Because by the looks of it, I feel like it almost feels like it was a film. I think, even from what I read, there's a Japanese version, and then there's a English version, and the English version's heavily edited. So
that's
lost in translation.
That's true. The plot I'm reading is from the Japanese version, which basically just cuts out like all the UN stuff.
Yeah.
But we can get into that more at some point.
That was terrible.
But yeah. So Mr. Taco believes that it would be a brilliant idea to use the monster for publicity, just because what else are you going to sell drugs with? I don't know. They'll figure out a reason. Honestly, this is like a sneak peek of what like modern marketing is like. Like all the Progressive commercials, I'm talking about the insurance company. I'm not talking about Progressive people or whatever. But like, I don't care what's going on in Flo's life. Like, what does that have to do with like car insurance or whatever? But
dude, you know that if like King Kong existed or something like that in the world, Walmart would just be like right there. They're like, we got to get this guy on our commercial. Actually, it would be like Bud Light, I feel like.
Bud Light or like Amazon, they'd be like,
Geico was so easy, King Kong can do it.
Like live footage of King Kong was rampaging.
I can picture like Amazon being like, we can ship anything, even a giant 50-foot gorilla.
Drop that off with some big drones, baby. Basically, like they do in the movie, they drop King Kong down on Godzilla, basically.
With their random, like, super strong floss that they have, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, that was randomly introduced, too. It's like, hey, look at this really cool, strong stuff that's going to hoist this giant ape in the end.
Right. They just have, like, this super universe that they don't even talk about. I mean, I guess it's a world where monsters can just exist, so I guess it's not that far-fetched to have super strong floss. But anyway, so Taco sends two of his men. I apologize if I mispronounce either of these names. I'm going to try my best. Osamu Sakurai and Kinzaburo Furu. Okay, so we have Sakurai and Furu, essentially. So they are tasked to find and bring back the monster. Meanwhile, a nuclear submarine gets caught in an iceberg. The iceberg then collapses, killing all the men in the submarine. And then Godzilla is unleashed in a very not-so-dramatic fashion.
And he comes out of there, like, swatting, like, it looks like he's swatting away, like, flies from his head, like, when he busts out of the iceberg. It looks so he's like, arr! It's like, it looked like a dog trying to doggy paddle out of water is what it looked like.
He looked like a kid in a ball pit.
King Kong's moves in general, like, whenever he's excited, he just, like, he starts clapping. This made me think of like a 2-year-old. Like that's all they do. They get excited. They
like when Godzilla would do this, like it looked like a weird like flexing thing. He was like this.
Yeah. Yeah, just what? Showing off his dino guns.
Like, that is not intimidating. If I saw that on the ground, I'd be like, why are we afraid of this guy?
So this is actually kind of an interesting point here that also, I'm getting this plot from Wikipedia, by the way, because they broke it down in a pretty good way. But in the Japanese version, which we all watch the American version because none of us speak Japanese. So in the Japanese version, they mentioned that Godzilla had been trapped in the iceberg since 1955, which I guess was the last Godzilla movie, which was like, you didn't get in the American version, it makes it seem like it was the first time he had ever come out of the ice and the first time anyone had seen him, but they still like knew, had a name for him and everything.
That's what I thought was so weird, but that makes a lot more sense. Cause I was like, we're just gonna already know his name and we're good with that.
Right. So, and that's one thing, like when I was watching the American version, I was thinking like, at the time, this was the third Godzilla movie, I think the third Godzilla movie and the third King Kong movie, and it didn't connect to either of them, seemingly, in this version. At least in the Japanese version, it does connect to the original Godzilla movies. But, like, if you're building this franchise, you might as well have it connect in some way, you know? But,
I don't know. Flashback at the beginning to look for Godzilla.
Yeah. So also, did anyone else find like the UN newsroom like kind of boring and like confusing too?
Yeah. It was just like an info dump of like, and like instead of telling a story, they're like, hey guys, guess what's happening right now? Instead of showing, they just told, and I'm never a fan.
That's true.
I wonder like how much stuff they cut out of basically like what was happening that they were saying, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I feel like it was a little redundant. Like there were things that you could pick up on just watching like the scenes with the Japanese characters that I think made sense for the most part, but I don't know. That was an issue. So anyway, back to the plot. Godzilla then destroys the submarine and a nearby military base, which just happens to be in the Arctic for some reason. A lot of these movies just have Arctic military bases just existing. Meanwhile, on Faroe Island, a gigantic octopus attacks a native village. My guess is the octopus was mad about the cultural and ethnic misappropriation of all the actors playing indigenous characters, which were just Japanese actors in blackface. So that was a little cringy for sure.
Yeah. Or I just wanted berries.
What did you say?
Or I just wanted berries.
Or just wanted berries, you know. But yeah, that's definitely a product of the time for sure.
Yeah.
Also, did anyone else think
octopuses aren't really on land that long? So the fact that he just decided to come up and attack the native villagers is kind of weird. Just Googled it, by the way, in case people were wondering, because I didn't want to sound like an idiot.
Mason was straight octopus facts.
It's very limited amount of land time they put themselves on. So I highly doubt an octopus would just go out of its way to attack a bunch of villagers, because you're going to have to be on land a while to wipe out how many villagers there were there. Just saying, if he was there to steal some berries, that's a little different. That's a, you know, I'm in, I'm out. But he was straight up attacking these people. And I know that it was in the 1960s. Some of that stuff, like when the octopus like tentacles were like throwing the villagers around, that kind of thing, because it looked funny. I'm not gonna attack it for that because it was the 60s, but still, right. It was funny to see.
Although, like, I don't understand why they chose to use a real life octopus, like, because it doesn't look great having all the villagers superimposed in front of it.
And when he would throw, when King Kong would throw the rocks at the octopus, it looks so disjarring, like those really like fake looking rocks.
Yeah.
The screen. It was very off putting.
Maybe them these real octopus because I knew they couldn't capture the movements of it with the fake.
I guess. I don't know why they didn't do like I don't know why they didn't do like stop motion like in the original King Kong movie.
They should have done, since it's doing berries, they should have done like a giant raccoon.
A giant raccoon.
A giant bear even too. Like, come on.
It's like giant bear and berries.
Bears like berries. Boom.
Yeah. See, well,
Big bear.
I think
bear in the house. I would so pay to watch that.
You know,
Bear in the Blue House wins though, hands down.
Bear in the Big Blue House is actually the villain, spoiler alert, of the New Mutants movie, which we unfortunately didn't get to, but we should do eventually.
That movie, then.
You watched it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Don't you disrespect Bear in the Big Blue House, though. That was my jam. Although the moon was kind of freaky. But anyway.
Anyway, we're not talking about the Bear in the Big Blue House. We're talking about the real-life octopus and the village of blackface Japanese people. So anyway, the mysterious Pharaoh monster revealed to be King Kong arrives and defeats the octopus by throwing rocks at it, but he misses a lot. And then after Kong's victory, he drinks some of the red berry juice and that immediately puts him to sleep. So we know what they're selling the juice for. So this scene was kind of weird to me. Like, why was there a native woman like trying to dance seductively to when Kong was like asleep? Because first of all, it's just weird in any case. Second of all, he's like asleep. So like, what's he even watching? Like, what's it for? Who's it for?
I couldn't even tell you.
Maybe they wanted to wake back up. He's their god.
It's true.
He's like, oh, Mr. Kong. thank you for saving my time. gosh. Also, did anyone else think that the native rituals also like lasted too long?
Oh yeah, way too long.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of things in this movie lasted way too long.
Right, just like edit it down, you know. Snip
it. It's only a 90-minute movie. It's pretty movie standards. It's short.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut even more extra fat off the movie still.
Honestly, just like make the movie just King Kong and Godzilla fighting each other. We don't need any human characters. We don't need anyone like...
You think I care about humans? Not really. I want to watch a giant gorilla and like a walking nuke punch each other.
Walking nuke.
Basically what he is.
Yes. Oh man. So yeah, the natives were weird, and I was happy when they left the island, not because I hate natives, but because I hated everything that they did with them. Sakurai and Furu somehow get Kong on a large raft. Even if you had like a bunch of guys come to help you, I still, it's highly doubtful that that could work.
Weird. They're like, hey, there's this giant monster in this island. You two guys, yeah, you're good enough. Two people, plenty to lift and you know, secure this giant behemoth that these people worship as a god.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll send two guys.
You know, they strong string comes in handy.
Yeah. Gosh.
Maybe the string's made out of berries. It keeps them asleep and it's really strong.
There you go.
Well, we'll go with that.
It's like flavored dental floss. All right, so they begin to transport Kong back to Japan. A JSDF ship stops them and orders them to return Kong to Faroe Island. Meanwhile, Godzilla arrives in Japan and begins terrorizing the countryside. Kong wakes up and breaks free from the raft, reaching the mainland. Kong confronts Godzilla and starts to throw giant rocks at him. Because just
kind of his like only move, really.
He's like, when in doubt, throw a big rock.
Sounds like a monkey to me.
And then Godzilla just straight up is unfazed. He's like, this idiot. And then he just like blasts him with his atomic breath. And Kong is just like standing there like, what the heck happened? And he's like, he burned my belly.
Well, it's exactly how it happened. Then he just walks away. He's like, all right, I'm going to dip. I'm clearly not going to win this fight. And literally just leaves.
He's like, I need to rethink my life.
Yep.
I probably shouldn't go up against this guy if we're really thinking about it, but...
Here's a sad thing that they don't show at the end of the movie. Even if Kong were to survive, he would still have, like, probably, like intestinal cancer or something from all the radiation he just shot straight at his belly.
That was the fourth movie that got canceled. It was like Kong deals with like that. They're just like, yeah, we can't do that.
King Kong's chemo.
King Kong's chemo. It sounds like that's like a, that'd be even a worse movie than this one.
I would watch it like for free on YouTube. So Kong retreats, realizing that this isn't going to work out. And then the JSDF, they're like, oh, well, guess we better do something. They dig a large pit laden with explosives and poison gas, and then they lure Godzilla into it, but it doesn't work. Godzilla survives. Next, they decide to string up a barrier of power lines around the city filled with 1 million volts of electricity, which proves slightly effective against Godzilla. But then Kong approaches Tokyo and he starts tearing through the power lines like an idiot. I don't remember why. I honestly don't remember this scene that I'm reading.
Apparently he strengthens them, which I don't get.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a monkey. He's not like...
he's a pure electric being.
It's like... It's a known scientific fact that if you electrocute a primate, it'll turn into Thor.
Dude, I can look that up and see if it's true.
Mason with their fact checking over here.
Yeah. What happens if you electrocute a monkey?
He's an ape, technically. He doesn't have a tail.
Fair enough.
And they get pissed.
The shock can cause a burn where the current enters and leaves your body.
So his mouth would be burned.
Oh no.
The electricity may have injured blood vessels, nerves, and muscles. Electricity could also have your heart and lungs, or affect your heart and lungs. So basically, it's not going to work.
Well, what if you're a giant gorilla?
There's literally a YouTube video that says, footage, monkey gets electric shock, gets rescued.
Holy crap.
I don't think it's going to go well for Kong.
Well, maybe because of how big he is, it's like a static shock, you know, like when you're a kid and you're like rubbing
your feet on a million.
Yourself out.
What? It was a million that he was tearing through. Wasn't no electric.
220 volts can kill a normal human. So,
well,
let's get like some like mathematician on this and crunch the numbers.
Listen, this isn't the Duke Kong. This is King Kong. Okay, he can do anything.
Yeah, he basically does in this movie. Spoiler alert: he kills Godzilla.
Or does he?
Yeah. It's very ambiguous.
Or maybe it's not.
Or maybe it is.
Or maybe something else.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, Kong then enters Tokyo and captures Fumiko, Sakurai's sister. Wasn't she also, what's his name? The other guy's son.
I just zoned out with all the human characters because they were not interesting.
Yeah, you're right. It's not interesting. Anyway, he captured a woman named Fumiko. The JSDF launches capsules full of the Faroe Island berry juice in gas form. I don't know how they have time to do this, which puts Kong to sleep, and they are able to rescue Fumiko.
And how did they get a hold of it if the natives were only letting them get a handful at a time? Was that in the movie? I don't remember that.
Maybe they were like, if you give us back our gorilla god, we'll give you all these berries. And then they were like, sure. And then they took them anyway. Like us. It's like a bunch of colonists.
Probably American.
By any means, I was.
Yikes. So anyway, then they decide to transport the unconscious Kong via balloons tied together with this super floss. How do they even be able to produce all this? Okay, like,
well, the super floss introduced earlier on in the movie.
Yeah, but why do they have so much?
Drug money.
I mean, maybe they were making an investment into that, because that could actually be useful, not in just hoisting giant apes into the air.
Yeah.
You know, that could actually have some practical effects to it, except for actually flossing. You don't want very indestructible wiring going around your teeth unless you're getting braces. Just saying.
Maybe the JSDF secretly funds everything that the pharmaceutical company does, and it's actually like a secret military development project.
See, that sounds like a more interesting movie than this one.
There we go. Already done. Anyway, they're in hopes that Kong and Godzilla will kill each other. The next morning, they drop Kong off next to Godzilla at the summit of Mount Fuji, and the two monsters engage in one final epic? Battle. Godzilla initially has the advantage due to his atomic breath, like Mason said, a walking nuclear bomb.
King Kong tripped and fell like twice and knocked himself out.
That's true. King Kong's worst enemy was himself in that fight.
I mean, to be fair, he's got to be like all out discombobulated because he was sleeping, and then they're just like, will release him, and he's rolling down the hill. He's like, what the heck is happening? Oh, shit.
We don't know how to wake him. Drop him down off a mountain. He'll wake up.
Yeah.
Easy. I'm a scientist. I should know.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. So he drops down the mountain. They engage in battle. Godzilla has the initial advantage because of his atomic breath. So he nearly kills Kong. And he knocks Kong out with a devastating drop kick, which was a beautiful.
That drop kick was so funny.
1 second stop motion shot.
Oh man, that was the greatest part of that movie, hands down. The guns and the dropkick.
Alexa and I were watching it together, and then as soon as that happened, we both were dying of laughter. It was good.
I mean, your poor fiance watched this. Wow.
I mean, she was like doing stuff while watching, and I'm like trying to take notes and everything. So, but yeah, if I'm the director, I'm probably like so sad. I was like, oh, I wanted to use that octopus in stop motion, but all our stop motion budget went to the stupid drop kick.
Whoa, don't you diss the drop kick, man.
I mean, I'm saying if I'm the director, he's dissing it because he probably wanted to use it a lot more.
Probably.
You know, probably would have looked better than like all the costumes. Also didn't like to obviously special effects is really bad. That they don't have the budget or the technology for it. But couldn't they have given them like less derpy looking faces?
Yeah.
Especially King Kong. King Kong's was bad.
Yeah.
Godzilla's eyes were kind of weird looking, I thought. Like they looked too big for his like head.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't look good. Godzilla looked good from like the neck down. King Kong just looked bad. That's why I wanted Godzilla to wipe the floor with him. Just get this monkey out of my screen. I don't want to see it.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Godzilla still gonna win in this upcoming one. You heard it here first.
Maybe there won't be a clear winner.
I hope there is.
I'm thinking Kong. This the trailer shaping up Godzilla to be the villain again after. You know, he's like kind of the hero in the last one.
But, kind of. He was the hero.
But there's like a mystery behind why he's like...
Don't we already know that Mechagodzilla is going to be in this and they're going to team up, right? Isn't that but like all but confirmed, essentially?
Actually, at the time of this recording today, I saw an article saying that it's actually been confirmed to be Mecha Ghidorah.
Oh,
so
well, that's great. Just make a mecha of the one that was trying to murder everybody last time. The humans in those movies, like, they got it coming. Let's be honest, they're stupid.
One could say the same thing about real life humans.
That's true. Some of them are.
Yeah. I haven't seen King of the Monsters yet. Actually, I'd like to eventually.
I haven't seen any of those films, so.
I haven't seen King of the Monsters. I've seen bits and pieces, but I haven't seen the whole thing. But I was curious because I was like, oh sweet, giant fighting monsters. So I kind of know like what happened in the film without really seeing it because my interest was piqued.
Right.
But I was thinking about watching it. We should do that before we see Godzilla or Godzilla versus Kong, because I want to see that one because Godzilla rules.
I assume they're all on HBO Max, so.
Don't you have that?
Not anymore. We'll have to, but with the Wi-Fi that Alexa has, we might be able to get it for free for a year. So we'll have to see. I have seen the first Godzilla and the Kong Skull Island movie, and they're very different in tones. The Godzilla one is like there's barely any Godzilla in it. He's more just kind of like
14 minutes or something, I thought.
Probably. He's like kind of this looming foreboding threat that turns out to be their savior at the end. The movie mostly follows Aaron Taylor Johnson's character, who's basically like a soldier who's trying to get back to his wife and kid and everything. And his wife in that movie is played by Elizabeth Olsen, which means that it's an alternate universe where Pietro and Wanda Maximoff are.
That came out at the same time too, didn't it? I think
it came out the same year. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Age of Ultron, I was watching that today. It was on TV. Anyway, just a little funny tidbit.
Better than this movie, Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron got way more hate than it deserved.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's deserved, but, you know, it's...
Some of it's not.
You got to measure the sum of its parts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucker for James Spader, though.
What if James Spader plays Mecha Ghidorah?
I would root for Mecha Ghidorah then, hands down. It's like, I don't even care anymore. You can wipe everybody out from existence if it's James Spader.
He just mesmerizes Kong and Godzilla with his voice.
If you don't like James Spader, I recommend watching The Blacklist, and I feel like your mind will be changed forever. Just saying.
Or, you know, his run as Robert California on The Office.
I mean, it was good, but when I watched The Blacklist, I was like, let's get it. This is awesome. Anyway.
Basically,
they fight. King Kong's fight wins.
He dies.
We find out that they both have cataracts because the Godzilla is missing Kong at point blank with his atomic breath.
It's like Stormtrooper aim cranked up to the maximum.
Honestly, he just needs some lens corrections because you can see how his eyes are like pointing the opposite direction.
All Godzilla has to do is basically just like headbang and he'll hit Kong at some point.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty big laser beam of death.
So they destroy the atomic castle. The island gets destroyed. It collapses into the Pacific Ocean. And there is a brief underwater battle, which we don't get to see, which would have been cool to see in claymation, I feel, but maybe they just didn't have the budget for it. And then only Kong resurfaces from the water, and he begins to swim back towards his home island, because as we all know, primates are amphibious and can swim for thousands of miles.
Hold on, we got this. How good of swimmers are apes?
And how long was he under there, underwater? He should have probably died if it was too long.
I don't know. It was only like a couple minutes.
Right. In our time, but what about movie time? We have no idea.
They can learn to swim, but they normally don't swim.
Well, I guess Kong is a fast learner.
New surprising video that shows apes swimming, though, but that was in 2013.
Yeah. So there is a little bit of trivia I have for you guys. In the American version, it just showed, which we watched, Kong is swimming off the island, seemingly a clear victor, and they're like, well, Godzilla's gone, so we don't have to worry about him. But in the Japanese version that Toho released, both Godzilla's and Kong's roars can be heard as the film closes. So maybe there wasn't a clear winner. Ambiguous. All right. So any other points that you guys wanted to talk about that we might have skipped over, like problems?
Not really. I said I wasn't a fan of the info dump.
Yeah.
Like with the newsrooms. I think the way they kind of originally shoehorned Kong in there with the weird berries was
right.
Weird.
I think it's weird. Like, I know they're on a budget, I guess, but like for like all the vehicle scenes, like I get like a scene when like the monsters are shot and the monsters are present that they'd be like toys, but like even just like the tanks.
Right.
Toys.
The fact that they move like toys too was the funny part.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That like bunker scene in the Arctic when the tanks are like going, like this scene was so funny. Like one toy tank was set on fire and then it cuts to all the tanks like retreating. I thought that was so funny. In my mind, they were just like all like, oh, nope, time to go. Not dealing with that. Bye-bye.
Yeah,
they were just like, this is not in my job description. And they just turn around.
That's like in that Drake and Josh episode where they saw that Shirley was in a... Wait, what, her name wasn't Shirley. That's her community character. What was her name on Drake and Josh?
I don't know. But...
Is it Ellen? No.
Ellen, yeah. Or Helen.
Helen, yeah. Helen.
She was like a child sitcom star who said, that is not my job.
Yeah.
That's what the tank guy said.
That is not my job.
It's not my job to sit here and get burned alive by a walking nuke lizard.
Walking nuke lizard. That's why he's going to win in the new one.
I don't know. Kong might have like a superpowered axe or something.
Yeah, I don't know where you'd get that idea from.
I don't know. Maybe I watched the trailers. Yeah, because that's all I ever do with my life is watch stuff about this on YouTube.
Yeah, based on the trailer, it looked like it was like meant for him. So like, is he Thor in this new one?
Yep.
Or of the, you know, like it was handed down. It's Odin's whatever.
I saw something where it said he ripped one of Godzilla's spikes off his back and like.
Oh, in the past?
Yeah. Yeah, ooh. And crafted like a weapon out
they
of
got history.
They be beefing for a long time.
Be beefing. Maybe it's like a combo of those things where like one of his ancestors did it. And because he was a lot smaller in Kong Skull Island.
He got some of the berry juice and it made him grow somehow. It's all connected.
All connected. And he's going to be like Thor, except instead of electricity fingers, he's going to have a superpowered battle axe.
We're gonna have Jeff Goldblum come out and call him Sparkles. I would
just
love
just mid fight against the Godzilla. Hey Sparkles.
Hands down to like him being a citizen, he's like Sparkles.
I feel like if Jeff Goldblum was in that movie, there would have to be some sort of nod to Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah. Like, that's the biggest lizard I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think it's very, it'll be like a cross of both characters, like the Grandmaster and his character from Jurassic Park. It'll just be a very serious beginning, they'll get drunk, and then he'll just be the Grandmaster.
He'll be.
Like, I can't handle this. Drink some beer.
Grandmaster Malcolm just getting boozed up. All right. So, yeah, now it's. One of my favorite parts of the episode, the pitch fest. So in this segment of Nerds Polish Turds, we each take a turn pitching our own version of this movie, or it can be a different edit of it or its own original thing, whatever. But the rule is it has to be better than this one. So who wants to go first?
I don't have much to my pitch, so I can do it because it could literally be 30 seconds long, and I'm not even kidding. Step one.
We
make better fight scenes.
Better fight scenes, yes.
Between the two. I know it's the 60s, but you can still do better.
More monster, less Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't focus on the humans, because quite frankly, let's be honest, we don't care about them in this movie. It's called King Kong versus Godzilla. That's what we came to see. I don't care about some submarine getting launched in the ice, although that's how Godzilla got out, but you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I want to see more fighting, not as much info dump. I don't know how I would do this, but I would tweak how we come across Godzilla. Like, not some weird berry juice and then we drop him off at like some island at the end to fight. And I would like to see how the supposed winner won. I don't want them to fall into the water and just have Kong come up. I want to see they probably did this on purpose, why we didn't see the final blow, because there might have not actually been a final blow, but I would like to see one because I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. All right.
That's about it.
Great pitch. I would watch it. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's what this one should do. A lot of fighting and only a little bit of human characters, not like completely just a video game come to life with two monsters duking it out, but
honestly, if you know what you're getting into, I feel like it could
that's work. What the people want. The people want a giant ape fighting a walking nuke. They don't care about Johnny Come Lately's problems. We care about the giant monsters fighting up above.
And Johnny Come Lately dying from it.
Yeah. Like, okay, cool. He got a building dropped on him. Probably thousands of other people probably did too.
Yep. Just show each and every one of them for one minute. Okay. Awesome. Tanner, do you want to go next?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try and follow that masterpiece up.
I think what I would do is focus on Godzilla's back, and Japan is where he's going first, because why not? That's where all the Godzilla movies take place. And it's like Japan's like, okay, we need a new line of defense. So Godzilla, or King Kong, I mean, is on his island.
Yeah.
I think I follow kind of the newer movie, and like they want to use him as a defense. Like they know, like the humans know we can use him. No natives or anything. He's just on an island by himself. So they go again, kidnap him, whatever, take him to Japan. And then it backfires and he starts destroying Japan along with and then they finally meet up and start fighting.
I like that kind of twist where like our supposed savior also becomes our tool of destruction, which I think they're going to kind of play with in this.
And technically that would be a good way to introduce like Mecha Godzilla, because that forces their hand. So for like a movie down the road, you could be like, all right, so now we have literally nobody. So now we need something.
Yeah. And then probably at the climax of the fight, Godzilla's about ready to nuke King Kong. And King Kong goes, save Martha.
Yeah. Yes. And then Godzilla's like, why did you say that name?
Gosh. You know what? It's perfect when it changed a thing.
Call everybody. We need to make
this. And then they go and they fight and kill the government officials. They kidnap Martha. And
kidnap Martha.
Japan's gone. That's it.
Japan's gone.
They're gone. They destroyed themselves by unleashing King Kong and kidnapping
Martha.
Okay, but in reality, I would, you know, they would get up and fight, and I think there would be a clear definitive winner.
Yes.
And
it would be Godzilla.
Yeah, I'd have to admit it'd be Godzilla.
That's right.
And then everyone's like, crap, now we do. And then it's cliffhanger, first sequel.
Then it's Mecha King Kong.
Mecha King Kong versus Godzilla.
See if you can go 2-0 against King Kong.
Yeah.
It's all about keeping the wheels turning, the wheels of franchise.
Yep.
All right, I like that pitch too. I feel like I did not put as much thought into my pitch this time compared to you guys, because I actually enjoyed the cheesiness of this movie. So I think what I would do is basically just make it the Japanese version, but open with Godzilla coming out of the iceberg. And then also it more explicitly connects to not only the Godzilla movies, but to past King Kong movies, which they could do with the Son of Kong movie. So it could technically be King Kong Jr. or whatever. It's still a giant gorilla going to fight a giant lizard. And I would make the fights just longer. But yeah.
But better.
I don't know if I would even make them better. Like I laughed a lot watching this. So I enjoyed some of it. I think if you watch it with someone else who's ready to like watch a really cheesy movie, then it can be good. Or if you like that sort of thing too, because some people don't. But that would be my version. It would just be a short film that more connects to the other films and has longer fights.
Yeah, Tanner's is the best.
I mean, your guys' are better, and they're probably, the next one's probably going to be closer to yours, but
the newest one's close to Tanner's. That'd be pretty dope.
Yeah.
Especially the Martha thing.
Too bad BVS did it first. Zack Snyder was prolific. All right. But yeah, so to close out our episode, I have some trivia for you guys.
Oh gosh.
From the IMDb page. So I guess we'll see if this segment should stay or not. But
we need to give it a name.
What?
We need to give it a name if it's gonna stay.
Turd trivia.
That sounds weird.
Turd via.
Sounds like all right. Is that a trivia?
Triviard.
We'll workshop this. Just give us the trivia.
It's a behind the scenes look at our process. Okay. Anyway, some trivia. So for the octopus fight scenes, there are actually four live octopodes. Is that a typo or is that like actually a thing?
I thought it was octopi, yeah.
I don't know. So they were using the fight sequence with Kong and the natives, as well as a plastic model. They would use hot air that they would blow in their face to get them to move. And then after filming of the scene was finished, most of them were released, except for one, which A.G. Subbaraya had for dinner. So there was at least one animal harmed in the making of this movie. And it was an octopus. Another piece of trivia. In a fight scene when King Kong throws Godzilla over his shoulder, the suit actor Shoichi Hirose did not throw an empty suit, but actually threw it with Nakajima and the Godzilla suit. And they were both around 300 pounds total. And this was Hirose's way of proving that he was stronger of the two. So there actually was a little bit of a competition with the Godzilla and King Kong actors. This move was one of the many martial arts influences in the fight choreography. I did not pick up on the martial arts influences, but I don't know a lot about martial arts. It just seemed like some monsters.
I like the suits made it hard for
each other.
It was hard
to
yeah, for sure. Which is why motion capture is much better these days for doing that sort of thing. Also, apparently the Godzilla actor Nakajima was a black belt in judo. I assume he's probably passed away by now. This film introduced Godzilla's more well-known and standardized high-pitched roar, which is actually a mix of the two. His original roars, but they were sped up several cycles. The idea of this movie actually was originally supposed to be King Kong versus Frankenstein, and Frankenstein would have been a giant monster created from different animal parts. But the American studios at the time had no interest in the project, so producer John Beck offered the idea to Toho, who replaced Frankenstein with Godzilla. So it could have been worse.
Could have been worse, yep.
Not the movie we need, but certainly the one we deserve.
Frankenstein versus King Kong.
This one's kind of fun. To promote the film, Toho released fake interviews with King Kong and Godzilla in which the monsters acted like sumo wrestlers preparing for their big fight against each other.
That's
kind of good. So I feel like if they had put that in the film, it honestly would have made it better.
Yeah.
It would have.
This one we kind of talked about. It was rumored, this is also one of those Mandela effect things, but it was rumored at one point that King Kong wins the American version of the movie and Godzilla wins the Japanese version, but this is just a myth. Kong wins in both versions, but you can hear Godzilla at the end of the Japanese version also.
Aha!
So it's not a Mandela effect. Don't worry, everybody.
No, it sounds like they're prepping for a sequel for Japan, but not for everyone else.
maybe. But yeah, so that's our trivia.
Work in progress title.
Working title. But yeah. Real quick before we cap off this episode, do you guys want to plug anything that you're enjoying or working on?
WandaVision
for sure.
WandaVision.
We can't spoil it.
Yeah, we can't spoil it, but
it's good.
It's really good.
It's good.
Destiny 2, you know, always. It's a great game. Oh, although actually, there's a new like looter shooter game that's coming out. It's called Outriders. I played the demo. It's actually pretty fun.
Cool. Is it like a cowboy?
No, it's still sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
Like, we completely just destroyed Earth and it was not livable. And we traveled to a new planet that is extremely hostile.
Nice.
Yeah. It would make a good video game if it wasn't.
All right. Tanner, you got anything to plug?
Just WandaVision.
Of course.
I guess, you know, a little couple months behind, but if you haven't watched it yet, Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah. I've heard good things about that.
I love it.
I still need to watch the original Karate Kid films because I haven't done that.
Yeah, I've seen all of them. Like, I watched with my dad, so.
Yeah.
We love them, and then it became a good show to watch with my dad as well.
Nice. Yeah. Would also second and third the WandaVision. Definitely watch that, especially if you've already watched everything else in the MCU. Gosh, might as well keep going. Something else I watched recently was this anime on Netflix. That's actually a Godzilla anime, and it's really good. It's really different from like any Godzilla movie I've seen before, where it actually takes place like thousands of years in the future after Godzilla has already destroyed the Earth, and then the surviving humans come back thinking that Godzilla is probably dead, but he's not, and he's actually bigger and stronger. So the whole thing is really cool. It's got a lot more sci-fi elements in it. The human storylines are actually more interesting than the monster stuff, which I wasn't expecting. And also, if you're like a fan of anime, I'm sure you'll like that. But there is a trilogy. There are different title films, but it's a trilogy. Basically, if you just search Godzilla on Netflix, you'll find it. But yeah, each one's like an hour and a half long. But they also do their own spins on Mechagodzilla and Ghidorah, which are a lot different than traditional versions of them. But yeah. And the whole thing is about, you know, the inevitability of humanity's extinction and how, you know, just because something is going to end doesn't mean it's bad, but also we can try to survive and live as well as we can in the meantime. So it's very interesting. It's a lot more philosophical than like traditional versions of Godzilla, but definitely give it a watch. And with that, I will say good night and good evening. We'll see it.
Terrible. If you're listening to this in the morning, so good morning.
Good morning.
Or good afternoon.
Like a great day at work.
Jim Carrey.
Or a great drive to work.
Truman Show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Remember, no matter what you're doing in life, you'll do better than this movie. Okay, that's it.